There's a lot of buzz about last night's 60 Minutes interview with self-described radical progressive Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But human rights activists were glued to the talk with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, who apparently had second thoughts after his sit-down with Scott Pelley because an official from Egypt, which is a U.S. ally, called to try to get the peace pulled. In it, President Sisi, among other things, denied to Scott Pelley that his country has political prisoners.
Do you have a good idea of how many political prisoners you're holding?
We don't have political prisoners, nor prisoners of opinion. We are trying to stand against extremists who impose their ideology on the people.
Now, Human Rights Watch reports that there are, in fact, 60,000 political prisoners in Egypt. Sisi also denied ordering the killing of hundreds of protesters in 2013 in Cairo's Rabah Square. So how did CBS land this interview and decide to air it against Egypt's wishes? NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik has been looking into this. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
So CBS was advertising this 60 Minutes piece as the interview Egypt's government doesn't want on TV. What happened here that we know? Because he, of course, wasn't forced into this interview. Did the Egyptian president actually think 60 Minutes would not ask about human rights issues?
Well, it's interesting. Scott Pelley, the correspondent, 60 Minutes' producer, sat down for an extended conversation, what they call 60 Minutes Overtime, about the process behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said was they made the case that if Sisi really wanted a major platform to address the American public and opinion makers, as well as perhaps the larger world of influence leaders, which Sisi appeared to want to do, that 60 Minutes would be the right place for it. And they talked about the number of world leaders and Middle Eastern leaders who have done that over the decades. They, however, refused to relent to repeated entreaties and then pressure from Egyptian officials to preview the questions, to say, here's what we're going to ask. Here are the topics we're going to do it. They said, you know, we have to have free range to do it. That's the way that's the deal you strike with 60 Minutes is there's no deal.
Well, with most, we should say with most interviews, you can't see the list of questions beforehand.
Well, major news organizations like NPR and CBS don't do that, but there are individual, you know, interviewers who might strike a different understanding. 60 Minutes wasn't going to sway to that. And, you know, Egypt obviously has a lot of questions, both domestically and on the world stage, about how it handles dissent. It is an incredibly repressive regime.
Yeah, okay. Well, last week we reported on Netflix agreeing to Saudi Arabia's demands that Netflix pull an episode from comedian Hasan Minhaj's show Patriot Act. This is the one in which he was critical of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman after the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Let's listen.
Just a few months ago, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, a.k.a. MBS, was hailed as the reformer the Arab world needed. But the revelations about Khashoggi's killing have shattered that image. And it blows my mind that it took the killing of a Washington Post journalist for everyone to go, oh, I guess he's really not a reformer. Meanwhile.
Big laugh there. But so David, Saudi Arabia said that episode broke one of their laws against impinging on public order, religious values, and public morals. So Netflix said it removed the episode to comply with that law. So now you have Egypt asking CBS in 60 Minutes to pull an interview. CBS doesn't. Are these apples and oranges to you? How do you view these two incidents?
They are apples and oranges, but they are not they're both fruit. They're both worth looking at. You know, these are cases in which CBS News and 60 Minutes in particular stood up for its right to report what it had gathered legitimately and wanted to disseminate as a matter of public interest. In the case of Netflix, you know, an entertainment streaming service seeking, you know, as its founder and co-founder and CEO Reed Hastings said on an earnings call for investors not long ago that, you know, global expansion really is where it's at when it comes to increasing profits for Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's seeking to get the largest markets it can. The Saudis basically made clear they felt this violated local law. But Netflix also has its own prestige, even among Saudis, as well as viewers worldwide. And Netflix had leverage, as the special rapporteur for the United Nations for Freedom of Expression told me last week. You know, major corporations with global reach have the ability to say, we understand your concerns and yet we have our interests as well. And they had to make a decision that they might well spark being banished from Saudi Arabia for now, but that might be a stance they were willing to take. Instead, after doing some legal review and kind of dragging their feet for a couple weeks at the end of last month, they pulled the episode.
Yeah. Okay, listen, while we have you you. There's other news in the land of CBS. We just have to ask you about Susan Zirinsky, longtime news producer, who also inspired a character in the 1987 movie Broadcast News that's heroic to many of us. She's sort of a female leader of a news division. Let's just listen to this scene. She's played by Holly Hunter, and here she's in an exchange with her boss. Let's listen.
It must be nice to always believe you know better, to always think you're the smartest person in the room.
It's awful.
Susan Zirinsky was considered by many to be the smartest person in the room. Quick thoughts on her elevation.
She's tough. She's smart. She's been there for over 45 years. It's a way of CBS putting a new stamp after a time in which her predecessor was not himself tarred by scandal, but had to oversee a lot of reactions to a lot of tumult internally, both over Me Too and other issues at the news division there.
This will be great to watch. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you.
You bet.